In case you haven't heard, it's officially an Abercrombie summer. The A&F Vacation Shop has everything on your packing mood board. I desperately need their new one piece, the A&F Marina. It's strapless, so flattering, and paired with denim shorts will be my go-to beach outfit this summer. Finally, your suitcase isn't complete without finding that dress. You know, the one for the photo shoot. Abercrombie's boho dresses have that perfect beachy romantic look. Make it an Abercrombie summer. Shop their newest arrivals in-store, online, and in the app.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Tech Entrepreneur on a Mission podcast. My name is Ton Dobbe and I'm the founder of Value Inspiration and the author of The Remarkable Effect. I envision a world where every B2B SaaS startup succeeds because they're creating software that customers would miss if they were gone. And here's why. Research consistently shows that 90% of all startups fail, and that's bad. What's worse, however, is that 75% of SaaS scale-ups fail. Companies that are supposed to have product market fit. Far too few scale-ups create the traction they aspire for and fail for the wrong reasons. And I believe this should stop. And hence I created my business. And the goal that I have with this podcast is twofold. First, to inspire new forms of value creation by sharing compelling ideas and stories about the potential that we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. Secondly, share experiences from tech entrepreneurs like you about what it requires to create a remarkable software business and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so. The guest on my podcast this week is Graham Hawk, CEO of C6.
How I operated yesterday, very sort of relationship-based selling, isn't really relevant in this new environment. The real skill for sales teams going forward is actually a writing skill. Their ability to construct compelling sales narratives. This whole relationship-based, hey buddy, how you doing, and taking you out. That's not what buyers want anymore. They want much more. They want an insight. They want that sort of consumer category lens so that they can see around the corner. They can see what's coming next.
This is Graham. He's an authority on sales AI, the author of Seeing Around Corners, and an industry tech leader with more than 10 years of commercial experience. He started his career as a UK Commando Forces officer. And during this career, he realized the power of simulations and how this was a very good way to help teams respond positively to transformation. And this sparked the idea to found C6 in 2014, which he leads as a CEO. Their mission? Help organizations, teams, and individuals prepare for tomorrow. And their promise? Help sales teams get 6x faster. And this inspired me, and hence I invited Graham to my podcast. We explore how sales is evolving as a skill and what is required to succeed. Graham shares his vision to enable this in CPG. He also explains why he decided to niche down and say no to some very big markets and how that's made a meaningful difference in the traction they're creating. He also shares his framework for making the best product strategy decisions. Last but not least, he shares how he avoids his team to become too internally focused and how that helped to become a remarkable SaaS business. And by listening to his podcast, you will learn four things. Firstly, why a very important decision was not to work with marketing, but with sales instead. Secondly, why he discarded pharma as a market as way too big, and how that made everything easier. Thirdly, how he tested for problem market fit, and how that accelerated product market fit. And lastly, how C6 is leveraging first mover advantage in the generative AI world. So hi, Graham. Thank you for making time available today and being the guest on the podcast.
Hi, Ton. Good to see you. Looking forward to the discussion. Thanks for having
definitely.
Me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, the moment I got approached to have you as a guest, I was, of course, looking in the profile and I saw an interesting storyline, one that has really developed around being a pioneer around generative AI. Another thing that I liked about it was how you niche down. So, yeah, and I could only say yes to this and say, be a guest on the podcast because it fits the whole purpose of it. So before we start talking about your company, C6, right?
Yeah, that's right.
What drives you as a person? What do you get energy from?
So for all of my career, Tom, which we can get into, in my 20s when I was in the British Commando Forces, it's about helping teams go faster, be better at their jobs, achieve mission success. And increasingly so over the last 10 years, it's helping them use technology in a really smart way to help them process information quicker, to help them formulate better plans, better narratives. So it's helping teams use technology and find that sort of competitive advantage. I've been interacting with that for most of my career.
Yeah, it's music to my ears. Exactly what the purpose of the podcast is, you know, the stories about the value that we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. It's exactly about that, you know, the advantage for the people, the advantage for the company, not automating people out of a job, but actually making the combination really, really strong. And I think this is the era where, and we've all been waiting for this to really, really explode. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the technology is here right now. And we've had discussions. I don't think you should think about technology or AI replacing you. I think it's using it, running with the machine, that I think is going to be really exciting, really interesting for people throughout the organization, honestly.
Yeah, 100% in alignment there. So started the company, what I saw on LinkedIn, July 2014. What was the big problem that you saw then that was screaming for something that you're building? What's the mission you're on?
Yeah, so it's working with sales teams in a complex environment. So just to unpack that a little bit or give it a bit more context, Ton, during my 20s, when I was in the British Royal Marine Commandos and working in Afghanistan, the environment that we faced there in sort of 2006, 2007 was a very complex, data-rich sort of landscape. So the stakeholders that we're working with might be a business leader, a tribal leader, a leader of a criminal network, maybe a member of the Taliban, the army, the police force. And we had lots and lots of information about all of these individuals. And our task as a team was to process that information really quickly so that we could make the best decision. And as you can probably imagine, day to day, week to week, that picture changed rapidly.
Yeah.
We had lots of information. It was basically our ability to translate and synthesize all of that information. Yeah. When I went into business after business school, working with companies like Diageo, Coke, Heineken, Anheuser-Busch, I realized that sales teams were, this might sound a little bit funny, operating in a similar environment, right? When you're interacting with retail buyers, a changing consumer landscape, you know, the face of America is changing. We can talk about that later. The way that people shop is changing. All of these different stakeholders, lots and lots of information. And sales teams struggling with, okay, how can I just craft the best narrative? How can I really get to the opportunity as quickly as possible? So I saw similarities in both of those environments where you had to synthesize information really quickly and come up with a plan. And I wrote a book about it in 2017 called Seeing Around Corners, because the hypothesis was that sales organizations that can achieve that strategic foresight, here's what's next for the consumer, here's what we know that shoppers and consumers are going to want and need over the next horizon, that's going to be a huge source of competitive advantage for sales teams and brand teams.
I understand. So what is the opportunity if you get this right? What is the before and after that you typically see when you start with a company and then like when the results come in?
Yeah, I think it's productivity and effectiveness. So from a productivity perspective, it's kind of crazy to try and calculate, but you can take a sales process that might take weeks. And Ton, obviously over the years through consulting, and we've built simulations and all sorts of interesting things in this specific space, that process can take weeks and weeks for sales teams to get brand insights, consumer insights, shopper data, demographic data, and take that into a narrative and a plan. We've taken that into a process that can take less than 60 seconds. So the productivity wins are kind of crazy, right? Sales teams are like, how am I even going to, where do I even start? How can I actually think about getting this into my workflow?
10,000x.
Yeah, exactly. It's trying to calculate seconds is bizarre. But then from an effectiveness perspective, it's really, really powerful, because down to the key account manager level inside organizations, all the way through the organization, you're helping sales teams craft stories that have a consumer lens because they have that information to their fingertips. Our technology pulls in retailer and customer information, so it's a tailored story. And you can do very interesting things with these models now. So Todd, if I've got a meeting with you, I can sort of capture some analysis on you as a decision maker, and the AI will actually tell a story in a way that will drive the right results with you. So from an effectiveness perspective, there's a huge spike there. And we're looking at, you know, in terms of dollars, $75,000 per year per sales rep, just by using this technology and crafting much more effective, impactful stories. So productivity and effectiveness are the sort of dials that we're seeing move really, really quickly.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's an interesting time for sure.
So yeah, productivity, effectiveness, I totally get that. You know, it reminds me almost of a conversation that I had also on this podcast with the CEO of a company that was at that point in time called First. We're in the real estate space. And they had almost like an antiviral effect on their customers, because their customers said, I don't want to talk about this tool at all to anybody because it's my secret weapon.
Yeah.
Do you get similar type of
reactions? Yeah, we do. I mean, we work in CPG, which is a very transient space.
Yeah.
But the first thing we get asked is, do you work with other companies in this vertical, in this category? And we're super transparent. And then, yeah, sometimes that conversation continues and there's an agreement, honestly, which our investors hate. I think this technology is out there right now, but because we're specializing in the CPG vertical, yeah, we do get asked, you know, can we have exclusivity?
Yeah, exactly.
And I can't say much more than that, but we do get asked that question. I can't say whether you say yes or no, but we do get asked that question.
Yeah,
because
that's the reality.
Absolutely. And it's a really tough market at the moment. You know, just think about, we've been through COVID, sort of tough economic times, you know, supply chain disruption. Now, you know, the recession here, I don't think it's going to be a particularly soft landing. We'll see. So it is a really, really tough time for CPG and retail. So CEOs are looking for that productivity and those effectiveness wins.
So what are the typical things that keep your customers up at night?
It's winning at retail, right? So retail channels are becoming definitely more complex. So if you think about how we use these things, right? So omnichannel, you know, some shoppers, some demographics use these all the time in store. So this whole concept of retail media, lots of data, but very sort of complex space to manage. So the actual physical store is changing. There's been some behaviors that have stuck, like curbside pickup, you know, people driving to the store and the grocery coming out. That's problematic for some categories. So the actual retail channel has become a lot more complex. And also, it's becoming much more competitive with some familiar trends, like, you know, people now looking for value because of the sort of economic pressures that households are under, and other sort of brands and white labels coming into the marketplace. So the complexity isn't going away. I think it's increasing, and retailers are becoming more powerful with that retail media space and the information that they have on their shoppers.
Yeah, clearly.
And it's definitely becoming more competitive, I think, when more and more brands are coming into categories.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is familiar terrain, and yeah, that can definitely keep you up. So you're looking for advantages to get above that, because like the typical 10% gains and so on don't really help anymore. You need to do something radically different.
Yeah, there's still some old-fashioned change management going on, right? That sort of mindset and skill set shift for sales teams, because how I operated yesterday, very sort of relationship-based selling, isn't really relevant in this new environment. Sort of saying, hey, Tom, you know, I know you like fishing. I saw a fish the other day. Do you want to have a meeting? That relationship-based selling just doesn't work anymore. I actually heard that the chief sales officer at Salesforce saying the other day, I think he's absolutely right, the real skill for sales teams going forward is actually a writing skill, their ability to construct compelling sales narratives. This whole relationship-based, hey, buddy, how are you doing, and taking you out, that's not what buyers want anymore. They want much more. They want an insight. They want that sort of consumer category lens so that they can see around the corner. They can see what's coming next for their shoppers.
Very well. So, I mean, I understand the mission you're on. That problem is indeed growing and it's not going away. It's just getting, the acceleration is there, is massive. The opportunity is massive as well. The question at the end is, how do you go about it? And one of the things that I liked about when I started to do my research around your company is how you niche down specifically into not only a vertical, but actually CPG sales teams. I mean, at the end, your technology could possibly help a lot of industries, a lot of teams. What happened for you to say, okay, no, our edge is going to be there. Our focus is going to be there.
So a little bit of luck, for sure. Okay. So we're just in the space. So for years and years, we've been working with CPG sales teams, and we've been working with them through the use of simulation. So we've built technology platforms, simulations for companies like Anheuser-Busch. We built a great simulation with those guys called Brewery on Mars, which is, we would take sales teams and we'd put them into a digital environment for a few hours, and we'd actually get them playing with AI in that controlled space. We've been doing this for years. The first simulation we built was probably, I think, back in 2017, 2018. So we've been working with this idea, Tom. I know it's something that's close to you, which is sales teams working with technology, but in a very controlled environment. You know, you've got to go to Mars and sell beer to a fictitious group of consumers. In that very sort of controlled space, we built a very sort of, dare I say, contrived AI, because it was very, very controlled and it had parameters. But we were still playing with this concept of, you've got AI as a member of your team. So we've been doing that for a long time, but we knew that it was just a game to increase learning and as a profit provocation for those teams. And then we would sort of follow up with all of our intellectual property and tips and tricks. And then 2 years ago, when GPT-3 started to emerge and our head of product, Paul, started running some prototypes, our advisory board and the tech team, we sort of came to this realization that we could actually now do this for real. Because of these large language models that were coming out, we could actually say, you know, if you give, and we'll talk about this more if you like, if you give that AI the right context about the buyer, the retailer, the brand, then the answer it generates is really, really very good. We have that domain expertise and knowledge. So we built an application very quickly, put it in front of some of our clients, and they are like, yeah, this is good. The output of this is really strong. So to answer your question, we've been doing it for a long time in a very controlled way in simulations. And we're still doing those things a little bit. But with the acceleration of Anthropic AI and GPT-4 and all these other interesting models that are coming to light, we're now building on those. And that's what's keeping us busy.
Okay. Yeah, I can understand that. What do you believe has been a very important decision that you took really early on that now, yeah, bears fruit?
That's a really good question. Not to work with marketing teams. So what I mean by that is, we were looking at the commercial organization, and it could have been very easy for us to go and work with sort of above the line teams. And we decided, no, we're going to stay with sales teams. We're going to stay in that sort of downstream retailer facing part of the organization. That was a really good decision to make, because we've really got product market fit there, and things are really healthy there. Also saying no to some other verticals. So we did do some work a few years ago in medical devices and pharma. And that is a space that we decided not to focus on, because it was just way, way too big. I'm glad that we didn't do that now, when you see all the sort of regulatory constraints in that space.
Let me make a small interruption here. Graham just made a critical remark about a foundational decision that underpins the success of his business. Saying no to everything where they do not have an ability to solve a mission-critical problem and exceed expectations. That limits their total addressable market, like the sheer size of the pharma market, but increases their ability to dominate a space. And that's a trait remarkable SaaS companies master. They acknowledge they cannot please everyone, and then use that focus to build something different that's highly valuable and desirable. Something that the right customers will keep talking about. And you can master these traits as well. And the first step? Simply read my book. I made the electronic version available for free.
Just visit theremarkableeffect.com to grab your copy, and inspiration will spark within 10 minutes. Back to the interview.
That's an interesting point that you make. You know, we didn't go there because it felt too big. It was maybe too big of an opportunity, but also a lot of companies say, we go there because it's too big, because that's where the opportunity is massive. What is your resonation there?
Well, just in the CPG sales teams right now, there's just a huge opportunity, like beyond our wildest dreams as an organization. Now, in time, sure, we're on a funding journey. So, yeah, of course, we'll explore other verticals. But for the next 18, 24 months, we can be really, really successful in CPG and in sales. And there's a huge demand there, which is what we've spoken about. I think if we had gone into another vertical, so the most tangible way of talking about this is probably our customer success team. So our customer success team have deep expertise in CPG and sales teams and that retailer interaction. And they can say, okay, here's how you apply AI to that specific problem. To do that in other verticals would require like a significant sort of lift and training with those respective parts of my business. And it was just a distraction. We've been so focused on engineering and products for the last sort of 18 months. That would have been a distraction. And also in terms of like feedback loops back into that engineering team, they're really, really quick in CPG because as an organization at C6, we're using the same sort of common language.
Yeah, exactly.
As soon as you go into other verticals, then you're dealing with a different language and it's we wouldn't get anywhere.
It's a very smart move. It's chapter one of my book, you know, remarkable software companies acknowledge they cannot please everyone. And that's what you've done here.
It's hard to be good at everything. You know, it really, really is.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
What it does at the end, you know, your solution could be used by other verticals, by other sales teams, but possibly by marketing teams as well, functionality-wise. What it will at the end do, it gives you a lot of leads. Your win rates will be in the 10, 20%. What you now have is a much smaller pond to fish in, very specific on the problem. Win rates go likely up to the 60, 70, 80%.
Yeah.
And they come in 4 or 5 times faster.
Yeah, exactly.
From there onwards, you actually fuel the right input and request to your R&D team because they're all the same, speaking the same language.
Well, I think you're really smart in what you're saying here because I actually spoke to an investor about this the other day. Companies who are going to be successful in this generative AI space are going to make money really quickly. Not loads and loads of, they're just going to get traction really quickly. They're going to get MRR, ARR. If you say, okay, we're going to go into the VR, AR space, like huge, massive sort of journey, investors kind of start shuffling in their chairs. What we know, or the hypothesis is, get into a vertical, get into a space, start making some money, start learning really quickly and grow from there.
Exactly.
It's a tried and tested rule, but I still see companies making mistake all the time. Certainly startups and enterprise, it's just suicide if you try to do too much.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you talked about a couple of things that I want to go a little bit deeper in. One thing you talked about was product market fit. Before we started the call, we also had a discussion around the problem market fit. How did that story go? How did you go from problem market fit to product market fit? And I mean, and what challenges did you face along the way?
So problem market fit, I think, gets you the phone call, right? So on the phone to a senior vice president of sales and saying, do you want your sales teams to be more impactful in front of retailers, get better at fusing all of the knowledge and information that you have into compelling sales narratives? Most senior sales leaders would take that phone call because most people would recognize that as a problem and opportunity. So we identified that a few years ago. Now, how you actually solve that is the product market fit question. Now, does our product actually help achieve this? And the early signs of people using our product for the last 15 months is really strong in that, you know, some of the questions that we ask ourselves, are they using our products for meaningful work? Right. So there's one thing going into ChatGPT or C6 AI and playing with it and going, oh, that's kind of interesting. Oh, look what it can do. Or are you actually targeting a big meeting next Tuesday with one of your buyers? Are you building, you're configuring a story in C6? Are you generating a narrative, and are you using that to inform that joint business plan or whatever is that meeting's about? And that's what our users are starting to do. I was in a meeting 2 days ago with sales teams actually doing that, the outputs from our technology.
Yeah.
So that's a question I ask our customer success team. Guys, are they using our technology in a meaningful way? And then, you know, Ton, I know you have expertise in this, the product market fit. There's so many other KPIs around how you measure it. If you took the product away, would people be extremely disappointed? So is it really embedded in the workflow?
That's about the meaningful work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, we've been there for a few years. Product market fit signs are really good at the moment. It's just very new, and for some people, very scary in terms of how fast they can actually go and how much time they can save. But once they get over that, they start running downfield.
Yeah. But that has exactly also to do with the fact that you did focus and you could put all your R&D brain power into getting to that specific fit of those specific sales teams in CPG and likely some more complexities around that.
Yeah. Yeah. Smart. I mean, we've thrown everything at that. We've even our board, you know, we've got former CEO of Dunnhumby, VPs of some of the biggest CPG companies in the world. So we've thrown all of our resources at this space.
Okay, that give me some other ideas, but I'll come back to that later. So what has been the hardest nut to crack for you to see, a change in behavior of your customers, or actually maybe a tipping point?
That's a really good question. From a user perspective, it's getting them to think about, instead of working on software, working with software. So for decades, we're used to working on PowerPoint slide, on Microsoft Word or Excel. That's not going away because you still need to present stuff in meetings. That's fine. But now you have AI as a member of your team. And our head of customer success, a lady called Jess, she says, think of Arlo AI. Arlo is the name of our AI in our platform, as a really smart intern in your team. Now, Arlo AI doesn't know anything about your business, but he's read like a billion books. So what you have to do is you have to give him all the context. You have to work with him. He'll generate some fantastic output that you can then start to use elsewhere. Yeah. So the mindset shift, this is just AI, I think, at large, yeah, doctors, true. Lawyers, is working with it, not working on it.
Yeah,
that's a very subtle but important. And some people get it straight away and they say, hey, guys, C6, get out of my way. I want to start using this. Okay. Other people are on the journey.
Okay. Yeah, and that goes back to the extreme productivity changes that your customers see. I'm not sure whether we've already highlighted it in the beginning of the podcast, but definitely, otherwise we have been talking about it just before we started. But how does that change how people work, and what is your role in that?
That's a really good question. So the best example is, it's sort of Tuesday, late afternoon, it's 5 p.m. and there's an opportunity tomorrow for you to have a meeting with a buyer. It's just come in. He wants to talk about a new part of the portfolio, a new segment in the category. He wants to talk about a new consumer group. How can you really quickly prepare for that meeting? And this is where AI can help you go from zero to 40 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour, really, really quickly. What it can do with C6 by generating, so by giving it the context of that buyer and everything that I've just alluded to, it can very, very quickly give you talking points, a PowerPoint outline presentation. It can give you, you know, something we call lines to land in a matter of seconds. So instead of working all night trying to find that information, actually think about how you're going to run that meeting, AI gives it to you straight away. Now, you still have to put some work in. Mm-hmm. You still have to sort of, it will get you to 90%, but you still have to, you know, think about how that shows up in the presentation.
Yep.
But think about AI is getting you moving much, much quicker rather than you having to go over to a content management system and search for something, find a document, read through the document, find that specific data point, think, where does that go in the story? How can I connect that with Ton, who's in the meeting? So in terms of AI in the workflow, the coaching and that we give to teams is, it doesn't take you all the way, but it will get you 90% of the way there super, super quickly. So you don't have to work all night for preparing.
Exactly. I mean, it's like you say, it's a complete mind shift of how people can make an impact if they use it in the right way. I think that, that is, of course, also it's a new way of working. What's inspiring me then, or the question that I have here is, since not a lot of companies and people are, first of all, aware of the art of the possibility, what do you experience on that in the sales cycle? You know, is it hard to get this in and get people to believe, or is it like, okay, if the moment they see it, they want it?
So when people see it, that they can't sort of unsee it, which is a lady said that to me recently. So we need to get them on demos and show them what it actually is and what it does and how it can help people, or how it can help you in your everyday work. In terms of like top of the funnel, we're growing through our network and referrals, because the narrative around generative AI is a very sort of crowded space, understandably so. So we're generating leads and traction from just, you know, people saying, hey, have you spoken to people in this company, this company, this company? And then we get them into the demo. What's interesting is the technology is here. Like you see it, we can onboard teams like in hours and start showing impact immediately. So the pilot phase is super, super quick.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, it reminds me of a conversation I had with Jeff Jonas, who is in a completely different area. And he had a proof of concept phase of about 6 months. And during COVID, they realized, okay, we touch exactly the right pain points. Cost savings, cost savings, cost savings. But the only thing that's stopping us from doing business is this crazy proof of concept.
Yeah.
So they
yeah.
engineered it out and made it go from 6 months to 6 hours, which is exactly what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Here. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
It helps. It helps.
It is. Yeah, exactly. Well, 2014, you started focusing on CPG, sales teams. I mean, and this whole thing started to evolve. Then suddenly generative AI comes around the corner about 2 years ago, and everybody's jumping on this. How has that disturbed your traction in a positive or in a negative way? Because I mean, what I see is like a lot of noise suddenly.
Yeah, I'm really, really confident. And the reason for that is because there are some fantastic products coming out there, but I do believe that it's organizations like C6 with that domain knowledge and expertise that are going to get that first mover advantage. And I think that's really relevant. Just look at what Harvey AI are doing with the sort of legal vertical, other interesting sort of pharma applications. So it's because of our knowledge with these users, because the people who don't know anything about the enterprise are going, hey, how do we get into the enterprise? Well, if you understand the pain, if you understand the users, it's not that difficult. We're very lucky. I am extremely lucky because my co-founder, Toby Hunt, is, I think, one of the best technologists I've ever seen or worked with. We've got an amazing head of products and technology, Paul Adicott Evans, you know, tremendously talented guy, and that he's building a tremendously talented team back in the UK, actually, our sort of technology organizations back there. So it's that vertical, it's the application to the enterprise. If someone says to me, hey, Graham, would you like to go into the transport industry or automotive? It's an easy no. It's so easy to say no to, because I don't know anything about it. And I just don't know anything about those users.
You got nothing to exceed expectations on.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's really satisfying having the knowledge, you know, speaking at interesting people like yourself and other sort of industry experts. It's kind of, it's much more fun when you have that understanding of these users and the adoption.
Exactly. Yeah, it comes down to getting over that mindset hurdle that niching down is going to allow growth way faster.
Yeah.
And once you get over that hurdle, magic will happen. See that over and over and over again. Looking at the time, I wrote a book, The Remarkable Effect, which is about the 10 traits that define companies that we start talking about and keep talking about. Given your expertise, and your experience running the business, building the business, what do you optimize for so that you get talked about by the right people, and actually not only that it only starts, but actually that they keep talking about you?
You know, I hope this isn't too much of a basic answer, but it's impacts. That's what it's all about, really. You can have a really shiny, good-looking product, very interesting customer success model and background of the team, which we do have. But at the end of the day, it's impacts. You know, are these sales teams building trust with retailers? Are they starting to do some meaningful strategic work with their retail customers and buyers? Are they, you know, achieving what they want to achieve from a category growth perspective? It all comes down to impact. That's what we sort of hold ourselves accountable to. You can tell some great stories and this, that, and the other, but if you're not really driving the right decision, then we feel like we've failed. And we put some skin in the game as well with the contracts. And we say, look, if you don't achieve what we're setting out to achieve together as a partnership, then we'll hold ourselves accountable to that as well.
Glad you said that. I hear so many different answers. And of course, at the end, they're all correct in the context. But at the end, it just drives down to impact.
Yeah, mission is a principle from my military days. If you don't achieve the mission, then you may as well go home.
You're on the right podcast. Tech Entrepreneurs on the Mission. Last question. From the lessons that you've learned over time, what would be a do and what would be a don't that you would like to share with other aspiring tech entrepreneurs on a mission?
So I would do to spend so much time with your customers. I mean, customer centricity, you hear it all the time. But if you can just be obsessed with your customer, obsessed with the way that they work, their daily work, I think you'll be successful. You'll learn so much desk to desk. And we've spent so many weeks and months out in the field with our users, just totally obsessed with their world. That's been key. And we've just learned so much and had loads of surprises in that regard. And don't, which is sort of linked to that, is don't be too internally focused. Don't think you're too smart. I know we've built this amazing product. People are going to love it. Look what it can do. And, you know, users will sort of nod and go, yeah, that is awesome. Wow, that's fantastic. But how am I going to use it? So don't be too internally focused. It's a hard, especially when you have a massive team of engineers, they sort of lock themselves in a room and build some clever stuff. And I'm like, no. Guys, you need to get out into the field and start speaking to these, working with these users. It's a very difficult thing to enable. But see, I actually resource that and push our product leadership team to jump on an aeroplane and go and spend time with users.
Very strong advice, and I can only do a thumbs up for that. So where can people go to find out more about C6 or to say hi to you?
C6.ai, and you can definitely find me on LinkedIn and say hi, and always open to having a conversation with CPG commercial leaders about their businesses and what they're trying to achieve. 2023 has been quite tough, and I think 2024 is not going to be a lot easier. It's just some of my read. So I think any sort of wins or gains that you can find for your commercial organization, be open to have that friendly conversation.
Smart. Good. Love that. But it's true. It's not going to get easier.
No. Not for the short term. Yeah, thank you very much, Ton. I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks for having me.
And this ends my conversation with Graham. And I hope you enjoyed it. And if so, please leave a review on iTunes. And if it inspired you, please share it with other tech entrepreneurs on a mission that you have in your network. Other than that, thank you for tuning into this podcast. I had the honor to speak to Graham Hawk, CEO of C6. As said, the goal that I have in this podcast is twofold. Firstly, to inspire new forms of value creation by sharing compelling ideas and stories about the potential we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. And secondly, share experiences from tech entrepreneurs like you about what is required to create a remarkable software business and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so.
Before I close, I have two more comments to make. If you know other tech entrepreneurs on a mission that have a story worth sharing, please send me an email at ton.dobby@valueinspiration.com. Building the momentum all starts with revealing the ideas, and that starts with you. And if you want to know more about my book, or you're interested in joining the Remarkable Effect tribe, please visit my website at www.valueinspiration.com. Thanks for tuning in. And you could do me a big favor by rating the podcast on iTunes or provide me with your feedback directly. I'll see you shortly on a new episode.